Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff, and we are on WSCIRO, and it's Sunday evening, June 7th. And so for those who are not on the East Coast, we are broadcasting from the East Coast at approximately 10, and I called in at 10:10. But this is going to be about a 50-minute show, and my husband's going to be my guest. He's going to call in a couple minutes, and we're going to talk about the prophetic word that was spoken on Sid Roth's show. It's supernatural through the servant of God, man of God, through the mouthpiece of John Kilpatrick from Pensacola, Florida. And, you know, I didn't know what we were going to do today because basically I live one day at a time, one moment at a time. And it was, you know, I was already working on the stream this morning, and then in the afternoon, I actually had gone to Plymouth, a nursing home in Plymouth, where they have special children that are really, I really believe, have pure hearts of gold, and they're from the children of God, the God's kids. Oh, my, here's my husband. Okay. Hello. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good.
That's good, that's good. Well, this is my husband, Jeff Caniff, here. He just came on air. And I was just sharing with the viewing audience how, you know what kind of day I had today, and you know, you had gone to work, and I had gone to do some outreach and pray with the children over to the Radius Nursing Home, and God is doing a definite work through those children. They're so they're so pure in heart and spirit, and they just love the worship. They just love to worship, and they love the worship. And the heavens are opened over them in a very, very special way. And I had a very strong word for them, but I think I'm going to wait to release it to them the next time that I actually see them. And that would be in a couple more weeks, so I can't wait. And of course, we have a little. We have our son over to Evergreen that we're going to visit, right, Jeff?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Do we have a great connection? Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Okay, great. And I can hear you. All right. Don't put that on speakerphone because you won't be. There will be a greater delay. But I was just telling now, and I was sharing with the viewing audience how we're going to talk more about, you know, the prophetic word that was spoken on Sid Roth. And, of course, Jeff, you're at a disadvantage because you actually didn't see the last Sid Roth. It's supernatural. Let's just put it this way. I received a memo from one of my friends who are, we have a group of friends that are intercessors, not just in one place. We have in several areas intercessors for different things in. For the most part, whenever it comes to revival or, you know, news of someone coming into this area, we have a group of people that are always constantly praying and keeping everybody in check as to what, you know, is going on in the spirit. So she had, my friend Catherine had sent me something in the email regarding Sid Roth, and I believe Sid Roth did, a little memo that, you know, said that they were going to change the order of the guests because of the importance of the prophetic word that was spoken through the lips of John Kilpatrick, who is from the Brownsville Revival. I think, is Pensacola and Brownsville the same? Or I there's so many revivals that run together. But anyways...
No.
Okay, they're not the same, so this
Brownsville,
yeah, Pensacola, Florida, Pensacola, Florida, okay. All right, we got that cleared up. But anyways, one of the things that John had disclosed to Sid Roth was that on, I believe it was like the first prophetic experience was, I believe it was through a dream that he had regarding the United States and a major earthquake that was going to happen this summer. And he basically related that to, and this is supposed to be confined to like the Midwest area and or Middle America. And basically he was relating that to if it depends on what the leaders do with Israel. And, you know, I was sharing that with you, honey. And what were you getting anything in the spirit when I was talking to you about it?
I know. All I know is that it may or may not happen. It depends on how the saints intercede before God. If they intercede in fear of it going to happen, it will happen. But if they exercise their faith that God has placed them in the breach between leaders and himself, then they should be praying, as Patricia King would say, praying through the word, not just pray, not just prophesying the word, but continue to pray into it. See what further clarifications the Holy Spirit will give you.
Exactly. Well, I that's what I did. And, you know, after especially after the class that we took with King Clement, I when I heard the word, you know, the first thing that came into my spirit was that is a possibility, but there was always that but, and I asked the Lord, what is the prognosis? What do you want? How do you want us as intercessors to pray? And how do you want us to tell everybody else to pray? And what other things are associated with this that maybe, you know, you're showing us and you haven't showed John Kilpatrick or other people who have received bits and pieces of the prophetic? Because I really believe that the Lord is pouring out a spirit like in a tapestry kind of fashion, where you would have some prophets as one part of the or people with a strong gift of prophecy in one portion of the United States or world, you know, receiving a portion of the bigger picture. And I was just asking the Lord, what portion do you want us to look at and be responsible for in the spirit? And what are you telling us? How can we understand it for ourselves in the spirit? And the Lord was showing me that we got to take, in order for the United States to be leaders in peace negotiations in other countries, we need to spiritually, the intercessors really need to take hold of the history and why these major weather catastrophes are happening, seem to be concentrated in the South, Midwest, and Middle America. And so I asked the Lord, all right, what territories, why are these territories primarily in the South? And what is it pointing to it? What significant part of history, the history of America, is this pointing to? And, I know there's some people out there that are going to say, oh, there goes the slavery kind, but no, this is not for condemnation, okay? This is just for greater spiritual clarification so we can understand how to pray, all right? All right, and how the Holy Spirit wants us to pray. And Jeff, I think once I say this to you, I think God's going to give you some other things to interject into this too. So, but especially when, you know, we had that little trip to North Carolina. Remember a couple of years ago when we picked our son up from the military? But anyway, mm-hmm. what I wanted to share is that there are places where, you know, the innocent blood of people were shed, and people that were associated with, you know, that were the victims of slavery, lynchings that, you know, didn't get recorded, lynchings that were in seclusion that were due to racism. How about the Civil War, too, and still the bitterness that still exists there. The Lord is saying that the land is grieving, and because of it's still grieving, and there hasn't been total reconciliation, there's not too many people that are willing to go to these different places where either civil war was fought or these other crimes happened, or maybe the Lord knows. Well, we may or may not ever know what really happened in certain areas, but the Lord does know. And the Lord is saying His blood is crying out. So what happens is that when the blood has not been atoned for in certain areas territorially, it invites in the other ages, it invites a greater bloodshed in the, area of abortion and different things like that. So what we need to do is go back to the root of, what is the land grieving? What's going on? What's going on with the land? What is it telling us? Why is there chaos over the land and in the air, over in certain regions, okay? He kind of defined it for us. And the thing is, in order for us to be considered peacekeepers and peacemakers so we can see clearly even as a nation, we need to plead the blood of Jesus over these areas of the South, and we will do this at the end of this broadcast, where there was blood shed in the Civil War that caused the division that exists even today in the minds and hearts of people, knowingly or unknowingly. Also, we need to break that covenant agreement of division between, the Confederate States and the 13 colonies, okay? And so we need to do that because there's still that bitterness. And sometimes people can use different excuses of why they have a certain attitude. But it could trickle down to that. But I just want to stay focused on the land and weather judgments, okay? And of course there's land disputes in Israel. So whatever parallels in the spirit here in the United States parallels and coincide with Israel. So we need to balance out what's going on here in the spirit regarding the blood that's been shed and why it's been shed. And I believe that, during the call we've had these different cries of repentance, but there needs to be intercessors that are actively go. And I believe God's raising some of them up, or has even raised up some. I know of intercessors that have gone up to Canada where there was wars fought. And once they went up there to pray in the borders, there's been a strong alliance between Canada and the United States. And that's going to be a key role in the days ahead. It's going to be a key role in how our economy becomes stronger again. There's going to be a greater unity. But Canada is already strategically aligned with Israel because of a measure that they took to that members of the, that prayer people, intercessors and ministries have taken to bring that reconciliation. Then it trickled down to the First Nations people. So, we seem to be on our way, but the Lord's going to increase that awareness in His people in the days ahead so that we can avert and divert the major crisis. I believe that this is a strategic radio show, and we are going to do this as a member, first of all, of First Nation people in America, in our bloodline, and also the African American part. I believe I'm more than qualified to be able to pray, as well as intercessors, and also being a citizen of the United States. So, there's all three. Of course, we're Christian, and you know, we have a relationship with Jesus, and because we're a child of Jesus, that qualifies us first and foremost. So, and we're going to do this in unity, and we're going to pray this in unity and love. Jeff, do you have anything to say about that? You know, like, what was your experience in North Carolina when we went down there? You tell me about your mom's experience.
My own experience when we were traveling down there was like a land of desolation.
Mm-hmm. In the spirit, right?
It wasn't very strong in the places we were, but then I remembered about my mother visiting with Karen when she was living in Georgia. And they were driving through these long routes, and they were saying they felt like they could hear the souls of those who died unjustly crying out.
And was there anything else?
It was like an environment that kind of made you feel yuck.
Yeah. Did they pray? Did they feel the need to pray at that time? Or
I'm sure they did. They stopped and prayed, but it was pretty deep.
Well, we're urging anybody that has ever visited any of these states themselves and in areas where the blood was shed. I mean, you know, we have intercessors that are praying up here all the time in the New England area, and we believe there has been spiritual breakthroughs, but for some reason the Lord's saving the best to last. I just think that and believe in my heart that if we pray, we humble ourselves, we pray and fast, and we repent, God will heal our land. He'll turn things around, okay? But we need to be freed up so we can be the peacemakers that we have been called to be as a nation to the other nations, okay? The other thing about the earthquake, it's very, very funny that John Kilpatrick had that dream. I've never saw a dream of earthquake, but I've always had.
Can I insert here?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
One thing about prophecy, the Lord always makes it conditional.
That's right.
There's always an opportunity for escape.
Mm-hmm.
And my point and question, my scriptural point of view is supported by the book of Jonah. Jonah was a Hebrew prophet, and he was called to prophesy, and he ran away from God because of his own prejudices. Mm-hmm. But then God finally apprehended him and said, go and prophesy. And he went into the city of Nineveh, and he started proclaiming the simple message, and it was real simple. It said, 40 days, this nation will be destroyed. And then...
Yeah, because of what?
Because God was going to judge this nation, and the citizens of Nineveh recognized that Jonah was an Israelite. And this message went all through the population and up into the courts of the king.
Right.
Now, this king heard the word of God through Jonah and responded in humility with prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And God looked at the people and how they responded to him and took him, you know, here's this Israelite telling us God is going to judge our nation. We better respond. I mean, they heard of all the miracles that came out of Israel and stuff like that, the stories, the actions of God in the Israelite history. Because then, even though the nations weren't in Israel, they were a part of the history, so they knew the stories of the land. And so the king made a declaration among the people that nobody was to eat or drink. And he included the animals.
Oh,
no beast nor man shall eat or drink. And with the hope that maybe God will relent. And he did.
And I think that's a posture that we should all take. We should always look at the prognosis. Now, one of the things that you said about Jonah, you were saying that he was prejudiced against the God using him.
No, not against God using him, but against the Ninevites because they were non-Jews.
Right, exactly. But at the same time, right, the Lord was calling him. And remember in the School of the Prophets when we were taking that course with Kim Komen, one of the things that Kim taught on was self-prejudice. Like when God calls us to do something and we hesitate, and you know, because we're fearing on the unknown territory, or fearing, you know that God could use us because we're looking at ourselves with our, you know, with the eyes of flesh instead of how the Lord sees us. That oftentimes we don't, we don't respond right away because of that self-prejudice, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so God's got to, you know, we have to give that to the Lord. We have to repent and, you know, and so God can use us. And I think that many times God calls certain people to pray over the land, to redeem the land, to, you know, be a certain place at a certain time. And maybe there's a conflict, you know, in their life where, well, if they knew what I wanted to do, you know, they wouldn't think that great of me. And, you know, the self-prejudice, you know, crops in there. But there are times that the Lord calls us to do things in secret, and he will reward us in secret, you know. We pray secretly in our prayer closet or wherever our prayer closet happens to be, wherever we have the temple. We know we have the temple of the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. All the wonderful things are inside of us. The Holy Spirit's inside of us. So, you know, we have the Ark of the Covenant inside of us. Everything is inside of us. So wherever we go and make our prayer journey in our prayer closet of our heart is where the Lord would meet us. And so we always have to be willing to go. And I really believe the Lord is looking for people that would be willing to go to different places to deposit prayer on the land. There's something about depositing prayer on the land that the Lord is going to spare wherever these prayers are prayed. That's why he's raising up houses of prayer, 24/7 houses of prayer in all the states. Because I see the Lord also erecting a canopy of prayer over the United States as these houses of prayer are coming into being. It's very important that houses of prayer are increased within the next 3 or 4 months. But the intercessors have to go out there and redeem those troubled parts that have been, blood has been shed on. But I want to get back to the earthquake, okay? Because whenever the Lord wanted to do a move in my life, he would send me an earthquake. It would be a personal earthquake, okay? He would just show me that, you know, he's that his dunamis power is powerful. And the several times I was in church at a healing service, and the ground under my feet would shake, and I would ask people, did you feel the vibrations in this building? They'll look at me like, what are you on? A couple of times I felt it under my feet, but I've also had dreams where the Lord would send an earthquake, and then he'll transport me someplace. So I really believe we need to understand the nature of the earthquakes, right? And ask the Lord, what dimension are these earthquakes in? Are they in the physical realm, or is it spiritual? I always have to ask that whenever I see weather patterns. Like I had tornado dreams, and lots of times when the Lord showed me a tornado off, you know, coming at us in that distance, you know, the spiritual always parallels with the physical. But, you know, the tornadoes or storms are usually indications of spiritual warfare in certain regions, spiritual warfare in someone's life. And, you know, and lots of times, if they're not prayed through, it could actually cause a physical calamity in the physical environment. So I always think the best thing to do is to deal with things on the spiritual level first and foremost, even before a word is released out there in the atmosphere, because when we start to speak these words out, what happens, and we don't pray to them appropriately, what happens is that we can frame and put into existence and put into motion things before their time. We give birth with our mouth to situations. And so we really, you know, we really need to really ask the Lord for prudence and wisdom in praying through a prophetic word and in delivering a prophetic word. What do you say about that, Jeff? We have about 20 minutes left.
Well, I think that's a very accurate assessment, Shirley, because when I look at the prophets of Israel, they, you know, they tore down physical strongholds as well as the spiritual. And most of that happened by the words of their mouth, like when God told Elijah that there was not going to be any rain, he gave Elijah the power to call back the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew Elijah would wait on God and be at peace until God told him. And that came about when Spirit moved on Elijah, and Elijah sent his servant out to look over the horizon. And his servant went seven times. By the seventh time, he started seeing clouds forming, rain clouds. And so, I mean, there was a judgment of weather not occurring. And then the Lord released Elijah to call for the rain. After whatever God accomplished in that absence of rain.
We have to be
filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
We have to allow the Spirit to always have His way. And what that means, according to what we've learned from Tim Clement's School of Prophets, is prophets don't have personal opinions.
That's right. Can you explain more of that?
Well,
Jeff?
What I think and what I believe really doesn't. God wants to say something to the world. God wants to say something to leaders. God wants to say something to individuals. But if I'm going to sit in judgment, I'm not going to hear God.
Right.
I could block God's voice in my heart, and I could bring about things that shouldn't have been brought about because of not hearing clearly, not pressing in on the word for purification and clarification. And that's why prophets need community to help them. So, because faith isn't based on individualism, it's based on community. The charismatic gifts, including prophetic giftings, are based in the context of community. That's where the discernment, that's where the personal growth happens. So you can grow into maturity, Christian maturity in Christ and in how God wants to use you for the sake of His body.
Well, we have 17 minutes left, and I really believe that the Lord wants us to get into some heavy-duty, detailed prayer, you know, beginning with, you know, taking authority over some things. But, Jeff, do you want to begin this, and then, you know, I'm just going to wait on the Lord, you know, as you start to pray.
Go ahead. Fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit, and we shall be recreated, and you shall renew the face of the earth, Lord. Times like this, Lord, is for renewal. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being the source of renewal, revival, and regeneration. And we just ask you to continue to regenerate the prophetic ministry on the earth, Lord. Increase the purification and clarification of your prophetic messages, Lord, no matter how you distribute them to the earth, Lord, through visionaries, through direct contact with prophetic prophetic, Lord, and we just ask you to open the floodgates of heaven, Lord. Increase your mercy, your grace, your faith, your love. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus. You are so greater. You are much greater than any chastisement that is threatening upon the earth, Lord. And your mercy and your graciousness, all depending on how the saints respond, the leaders respond. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. We praise you and thank you.
And the Lord is showing me paramedics and a spirit, and I see them being, I see paramedics, the Lord's raising up intercessors that I'll liken to paramedics and a spirit. He says, I'm raising up my first responders to respond to the spiritual crisis that's facing us right now, that's facing the land. First responders, you know, in the spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for sending your first responders. Raise up those first responders that would go to these different places that would discern where it is you want them to pray. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we commission those angels to go before them so that they can go to the exact place, Lord, to pray for the redeeming of the land. And right now, Lord, I just want to begin the process in the spirit, Lord Jesus. Lord, any, the Lord's tone, tell me to pray for the to pray over the clandestine areas that have been overlooked. So right now, Lord, she got up. Ashanda la kondia mashanda. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord. Oh, she got up. Ashanda la kondia mashanda. Lord, I ask for the angels, you know, to go to these clandestine areas where there's been shedding of innocent blood all the way back to this 1600s. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus, up until now, which will include the Civil War, which will include the Revolutionary War, which will include the war and abortion, Lord. And I see those, like, big, Jeff, I see those big trash bins in, like, the inner cities, like, where they threw aborted babies away without people knowing. You know, they just threw it in the garbage, and it became part of the garbage heaps. Those are, that's forcing that's innocent blood crying out right there. If people don't even know where this is at different parts of the country. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit searching that. I plead the blood of Jesus on all those hidden waste dumps and dumpsters. I also in the toilets and blood, and even unmarked graves, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Even for even in the satanic, where there's been satanic sacrifices on boys, or even those children that are on the milk cartons, Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over those regions where there was shedding of innocent blood, and we ask for forgiveness for those who participated in that, whether it be covens or satanic priests, Lord, that you, Lord, there would also be you would also deal with them individually, and you would deal with them the way that you see fit. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Convict their heart. Bring them to repentance. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone, over all lives, Lord, that went before their time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. In those clandestine areas, where, you know, people are covering up because of lies and trauma and different things like that. Time bind the spirit of trauma to all the land. The land gets traumatized to the Lord at the same time. Bind the great power of trauma right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And over the atmosphere, too. The Lord is to show me when the blood cries out, it ricochets into the atmosphere, and it causes a distortion in vibration of communication systems. So the Lord is showing that to me right now. Lord, redeem the air. Oh, redeem the airspace. Jeff, are you getting anything?
Not at the moment.
And Lord, the word that was spoken over the leaders, that there were going to be some lampstands that are coming down. Lord, I just pray right now that before these lampstands or ministries or churches fall, Lord, that Jesus, you would give them time to repent. You would give them time to change their ways. I speak mercy over them, or whatever, if this is a new season, Lord, and you have the other people doing other things. If you're changing the guards, well, let it be changed in the guards. But if there's any unjust thing that's happening, Lord, let there be reconciliation and restoration. Let forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration flow. And, Lord, that you would send the right people to build up these people, Lord Jesus. But if it's just something where it's just a change of the God, Lord Jesus, direct these people where you want them to be in the next assignment. And that they would not be distracted at times by the spirit of distraction.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And Lord, let the body of Christ, whoever hears the prophetic word on Zidroth or reads or watches or any prophetic word where there's change, transition, and a shift, Lord, that they would always approach the prophetic word as encouragement, and also, with the greater positive view in mind. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let no weapon fashioned or formed against your people, in the mighty name of Jesus, prosper. We thank you, Lord. Praise you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And Lord, we just pray restoration right now over everybody's mind, body, heart, will, and emotion. Oh yeah, and Lord, that you would just you would revive them with your power and with your glory and in the glory. With the energy from heaven, there's a lot of people, the Lord showed me, is very, very tired and lethargic. And the Lord is saying, he's breaking, in the name of Jesus, I break that right now in the name of Jesus, with that spirit of lethargy and laziness and slothfulness off of you in Jesus' holy name. Because Father wants to break that. And Lord, I pray for an increase of your energy, your power, your dunamis power. Lord, and the wisdom to walk in that. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because there's much to do ahead, the Lord is saying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We have about 7 minutes left, and let's just pray now, Father. And I'm just going to ask the Lord to send the rain of the Holy Spirit, because I see rain coming. Two weeks ago, when I was visiting the children's nursing home, of course, on the way back, we get caught in the thunder boomer, and it just seemed like it was, well, the news came on and said that there are severe thunderstorms in the Cape area. That's exactly where I was driving. And did you know that that storm seemed like that storm cloud was right over the van, because everywhere I went, the rain was coming. It was like it stopped. It was ahead of me. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm driving a couple feet into it, and next thing you know, it's coming all down around me. You know, I couldn't hardly see after a while. And I'm like, why is this happening everywhere I go? And the Lord is saying, it's a prophetic move. He's releasing that anointing. Everywhere we go, there's going to be rain in the spirit, you know. And I really get a sense that for those who are listening to this broadcast, there's going to be a release of rain, the rain of His Holy Spirit, the rain, and there's going to be renewal right now. And I just thank you. So get ready for that Holy Spirit saturation upon listening to this broadcast. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as
it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever.
Amen. And we pray for unity in the United States of America. And we pray, I just thank you, Lord, for the move of the Holy Spirit that you're about ready to do in America. Thank you, Lord. That the Lord said also that His blood is more powerful than any word currents or negative prophetic words. So we just thank you, Jesus. And we know that, you know, the ones that have been called to release this kind of word, they have been called to the Lord. But, you know, and they, of course, do not want to be the first to deliver it, because it's, you know, it's so tough to deliver such a word like that. And at the same time, we know that they have a heart of love for God's people. So, Lord, we just ask that you would just bless them for that, and in Jesus' name, just for, you know, wanting to do your will. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, we have about 3 minutes remaining, and we are going to say good night to you all. And, you know, I can't believe we are in the month of June. I mean, go figure.
Wow. Where did it all go?
I know. But for those who want to visit us on YouTube and Facebook, we have some incredible videos that we've actually streamed. We actually have something that's about 3 hours long, just about the stream called the Real Jesus Stream. And it's R-E-E-L, play on words. Comes from the movie reel, but now it's a video reel. So we kind of stumped some people when we put that on there. They're like, what? What is the Real Jesus? And for those who don't know how to spell real, usually it's R-E-A-L, but, you know, there's the synonym of, I think I said that right, R-E-E-L, which is another thing. It's a thing, you know, instead of a description of a state of things. So anyways, feel free to go to youtube.com/WSTKNWSCIRO. Catch us on Blog TV, Live Prayer. We're going to have all of our worship team back, so that's going to be wonderful. And we're in the process of editing our latest one on addictions. I think you'd find that very powerful. We go into great detail about how people can pray for their loved ones who are caught up in addiction. Okay. Yeah, so we were going to talk about that today, but we're going to reserve that for another for next week's topic. topic of discussion. All right, so I just want to say God bless you, and we love you, and be good until the next time. Bye-bye.